Father in heaven, thank you for your faithfulness, for your steadfast love, which endures forever. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection, how he is the manifestation of your steadfast love for us. Thank you for your Spirit, which you've poured out upon Christ's church. And thank you, Father, for the Lord's Day that you've set apart, this day in particular that we are called to gather together and to receive the gifts you've prepared for us, word and sacrament, given to us in the person of your Son as he ministers to us in word and sacrament today. And Father, thank you for this time before worship that we get to gather together and hear this morning about Covenant College, about this godly and faithful institution in our denomination that has impacted the lives of thousands and thousands of men and women over the decades, including some in our church. I'm grateful for it. And I pray that you'd be with us now. In Christ's name, amen. Come on in, guys. Have a seat. I'm going to just say a few things, and then I'll have Jeff take over from here. So today we are talking about Covenant College. I want to introduce, if you don't know much about Covenant, to you, or maybe refresh your knowledge if you're something that this is your a school that you're familiar with. Covenant College is the denominational college of the PCA. It is governed by a board of pastors and elders in the PCA. It is inextricably connected to the life of our denomination, and Jeff's going to talk some about that history and that reality. I also just want to point out, if you don't know this, that our church is itself pretty connected to Covenant. My understanding is that Dale and Ann Smith, founding pastor and wife, both are Covenant graduates. Dale, I believe, was employed at Covenant before he came here to start this church in 1976. So right from the founding, Covenant College is right there. Today we have three members of our session who are Covenant College alums. Lauren Clark, who went 3 years at Covenant and then 2 at Georgia Tech, right, for the engineering. Mike Venzel, who studied at Covenant and before he went off to other graduate degrees. And the same with Jeff Prager. Jeff, what did you study at Covenant? Well, there you go. All 4 of them. That's awesome. Did Mike do philosophy? Yeah, that's great. And then you may know that my 2 oldest children, Kale and Gillian, are right now at Covenant College. Well, hopefully they're at church somewhere. But they're studying at Covenant. Kale is a sophomore. They are, yes. I'm sure they are, too. Gillian is a freshman. And we're so thankful as a family for Covenant. I'll probably say more about that in a little bit, but I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. We're glad you're here. Jeff, tell us a little about yourself, and then tell us about Covenant College.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So it's interesting, actually. I've chimed in on his kids being in church kind of on purpose. I've met Josh because I met Gillian at church on Sunday morning. She was there with a bunch of girls, and my wife was talking to one of them, and she was kind of stuck, and I just kind of reached, we both were really, you know, and I just kind of reached around and said, hey, I'm Jeff, and I'm Gillian, and, you know, so now I know Josh, because I'm here in part because his kids go to church, which is encouraging as a parent, is it not? So Jeff Hooker, just a little of who I am. Jeff Hooker, I grew up all my life in South Carolina. My dad played football at Clemson, so Clemson's the only school I applied to. Thankfully, YouTube TV and ESPN are not getting along, and so I can't watch the game, so I'm not missing much. So there's that. I am a teaching elder in the PCA, been a PCA pastor. I was ordained in 2002, but between college and seminary, went to seminary at RTS Charlotte. Before that, had done 3 years of student ministry at a small PCA church in small town South Carolina near Myrtle Beach. Did student ministry at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina. That was 3 years. 9 years on staff at Christ Pres in Oxford, Mississippi. The last 11 years, I planted and pastored the first confessionally reformed church in the history of Athens, Alabama, which is just west of Huntsville. And so we were there 11 years, and our kids all did high school and stuff there. All three of our kids went to Covenant. My oldest was a graphic design major. He finished in 21. He's not doing anything with it. My middle was a community development major, which for it's sort of a unique. The Covenant people are nodding. Everybody else is looking at me like, "What is that? That sounds like, you know, city planning." It's the philosophy, economics, law, theology, et cetera, of poverty alleviation. So that's kind of a unique Covenant College major. And you end up in all sorts of disciplines. He's not doing anything with it. My youngest just graduated in May with a history degree. She's not doing anything with it either. She used to say that her dream was to go get a master's and a PhD and come back and teach at Covenant. After her capstone project, or kind of during the process of that, she started going, "I don't know about teaching. I think I just want to do research and write, and I think she'd be good at it." So, she just graduated in May, so, you know, she has time. So that's not a big deal. That's kind of our background. My wife also went to Clemson. We met in RUF at Clemson and all that sort of world. That's our connection, really, to Covenant. For 7 years, my kids graduated 21, 23, 25. From my oldest's sophomore year until just this past May, we served on the Parents Council. And that's basically a group of parents who are willing to talk to prospective students and say things, and they don't get paid for it. And we would go up for preview weekend, which they now call sneak peek. We would go up for scholarship weekends, go up for move-in day, and you're really just another parent like the other parents who are panicking, dropping off their freshman child, going, "What am I doing?" And you get to just have those conversations with parents. And you know, it's preview weekend or scholarships, whatever, you're kind of part of a panel. And I mean, I would tell people all the time, we're the people that pay good money to say the stuff we say. We're not getting paid like the other people sitting up here. So listen to us, don't listen to them. And it's because of that connection that I'm now working at Covenant College in the development office, the fundraising side. So the title is Regional Director of Development. There's five of us with regions of the country, plus another one that has, you know, kind of generic whatever. But I've got Texas to Alabama, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and then some other states too. I've got Hawaii, but I can't get anybody to approve that trip yet. So if anybody knows anybody that needs to give to Covenant in Hawaii, would you let me know? I need to justify that one. And my wife says she's going on that trip. So that's the connection. That's kind of how we got involved at Covenant. Was sitting in Carter Lobby. This is where I'm now regretting that we didn't do some sort of something. At least have the picture of Carter Hall up there. It's on the table. I've got a table up there, out there, and so, you know, between Sunday school and worship, during the meal, whatever, you'll see it. It's there, but the picture's only as good as it is. I was sitting in Carter Lobby, and then President Derek Halverson walked through, and he was like, "You're back again? Like, you were just here a couple of weeks ago? Like, you're here?" And I literally said, "Well, if I keep coming around, you'll start paying me. You'll think I work here." Gradually worked into this job at Covenant. And I tell people, because people always ask, "You've left the pastorate for this, like how's the transition been?" Well, the reality is I'm just not preaching every week. I'm still sitting down and eating food and drinking coffee with people who want to talk about, now I put, insert Covenant College, right? I happen to like eating food and drinking coffee and talking about Covenant College. And so that's kind of an easy transition. Anything else? Okay. So a little background. So here's what I'm thinking we'll do. And what time are we done? Okay, good. Here's what I'm thinking. At least sort of give you a little bit of background. And I'm interested to see if some of the alumni can sort of fill in holes here and there. But a little background on Covenant College, how it came to be, why we have it, and all that sort of stuff. So the history angle, and then the student experience angle, I think is a helpful angle. And then we can do some questions and stuff. If you have questions, please just interrupt me. It's fine. So Covenant started in 1955. I actually have the only, and look, you can take the gift officer out, you know, put him in a new role, but he's still a gift officer, so humor me. The only giving level we acknowledge at Covenant is something we call the 1955. Now that sounds like an adjective, like they're supposed to be club, group, you know, fill in blank here. There isn't one. It's literally the 1955. And that's anybody that gives at least $1,955 a year to Covenant. If you give $2,000, if you give $2 million, you're still the same giving level. The reason we have done that is because, and this actually came from a parent. I was on the Parents Council Zoom when this kind of came up as an idea. Because Covenant started in 1955 in Pasadena, California. Was there 1 year. But was started by people who had this sense that we need a reformed Christian college in this country. And they were willing to sort of step out in faith and say, let's start this thing and trust that God's going to do what God's going to do. And so for us, the 1955 represents not an amount. I actually had somebody ask me over breakfast, will that number go up with inflation? It's a perfectly reasonable question because every year, 1955 is worth less and less in the grand scheme of things. But it's not about an amount for us. It's about a mindset of trusting God with whatever he's going to do, because he's going to do what he's going to do. And so you'll see people kind of stretch. I'm going to give $2,000 to Covenant, or 1955 to Covenant, and trust the Lord to take care of me. It's that sort of mindset. That's why we created the 1955. It was only in Pasadena for 1 year, moved to St. Louis, Missouri with the seminary, which I guess did the seminary start in 1955 too in Pasadena and they both moved? That's a piece I don't know. I'm an RTS Charlotte grad. I don't know Covenant Seminary's history as well. It's possible it started in St. Louis with the college. I don't remember. Okay. Well, they were on the same property. And this was actually part of the reason Covenant College is not in St. Louis anymore. It's an interesting story. So I read a little pamphlet, then had lunch with a lady who put this pamphlet together. She took her dad's journal and compiled information into just a little small history of Covenant College. He was on the board in the 50s and 60s. And was instrumental in Covenant College moving from St. Louis to Lookout Mountain, Georgia. So in St. Louis for a number of years, the college, the seminary, sharing space, both growing, both causing space issues, dorm issues were the biggest problem. We need dorms. And so the board started running on two tracks. Well, the board was really running on one track. One board member was running on another track. We could get bogged down because it's really super interesting historically, but the board was trying to build dorms in St. Louis and had zoning problems. They could only go up so many levels, 3 stories, I think it was. And they couldn't go out because they didn't have the space to go out. Well, one of the board members had been part of a Bible Presbyterian church in Memphis, and then moved to Huntsville. Got to Huntsville, there was no Bible Presbyterian church. There was no Presbyterian church at all. And so, at least not a, you know, Reformed confessional one. So he gathered a group of other families. They started a Bible Presbyterian church in Huntsville, Alabama, which is now Westminster Pres. It's in the PCA, and it's 700, 800, 900 members today. He went to Chattanooga to visit one of those core families who had moved to Chattanooga after just 1 year with this church. And the guy was like, let's just go look at this property. It was for sale. And they started praying for a Christian ministry there of some sort. Hugh Smith was really praying particularly for Covenant College to come there. The building you'll see on the little sign on the table was built in 1928 as the Lookout Mountain Hotel. I think that's right. And you know what happened in the late 20s and early 30s. The place went bankrupt. You had the Great Depression. And so what was intended to be this sort of nice getaway for Northerners, and it brought with it other housing around the hotel. It was left empty, picked back up again in the 50s by another group. The Castle in the Clouds. It's a hotel. There are stories that Al Capone had been there in the 30s. There are stories, I'm pretty sure Liz Taylor and one of her husbands actually honeymooned at the Castle in the Clouds. It was for sale, and it's a 5-story building with the little castle tower. And I forget how much property there was at the time. And actually, at the time, it was just that building, a storage building, and a barn in the back, a horse barn. So now you've got that property for sale on top of Lookout Mountain. You've got people in Huntsville praying for that to be Covenant College. You've got Hugh Smith on the board of Covenant College talking to the board saying, we've got to go look at this property. We've got to look at this property. Literally, somebody went, okay, y'all, fine, I was telling Hugh's daughter, Linda, over lunch. I said, I literally, as I was reading his notes, you could literally see the eyes rolling in there. This again, you're going to bring this up? Okay, fine, I'll pay for President Rayburn and somebody else to go with you to see the property, and let's just get it off the list once and for all. They finished the tour. Hugh Smith said, why shouldn't we have this for Covenant College? President Rayburn said, I have no idea. And so we moved there in 63 and have been there since. Underbid the other bidders by $100,000. Still got it. And have learned, it's interesting because as you read this little pamphlet, there are 3 or 4 groups of people around the country praying for that property to be used for some sort of Christian education center. whether it's a Sunday school sort of situation or a summer Bible situation or whatever the case may be, but there are multiple groups, and some of them don't know about the other ones. But somehow they all know about the property and praying that that would be used for Christian education. It's reminded me all over again that perhaps we don't persist in prayer as often or as persistently as we should. That doesn't mean that if we did, we would get everything we wanted, right? But it was just that sort of reminder that that we can pray and ask God to do what God's going to do because He's in control of all of it. And if this is not going to be His design, then so be it. And so Covenant College has been on Lookout Mountain since 1964. This daughter, the lady I had lunch with, she did 2 years in St. Louis, 2 years in up on the mountains. So it's kind of cool to have that history. Bought the place. It was just, like I said, just the hotel. And it was like, and I forget, classrooms and chapel and everything kind of on the main floor. Maybe it was offices on the second floor. Women on the third, men on the fourth, faculty and staff on the fifth, I think is how it worked out. It was some sort of, you know, they all lived there. We've now expanded and further kind of down along the ridge, and it's up over 300-400 acres now, although, you know, a lot of it runs down over the apron of Lookout Mountain and would be difficult to build on, at least. I mean, stories of like literally trays of food sitting in what is now our Great Hall was the largest dance floor in east of the Mississippi, or the largest dance floor in the south. We've now turned into the Great Hall, our dining hall, and they, you know, it was left messy and all kinds of things. It's an interesting background, but that's how Covenant College came to exist and how it came to exist on Lookout Mountain. It has been technically, if I'm understanding the history correctly, it's belonged to three denominations. It initially would have been the Bible Presbyterian Church that then joined into the Reformed Presbyterian Church, which in 81, 2, 3 joined the PCA in mass as a denomination. 81, exams committee of Presbytery. And not exams committee of Presbytery. And so that's how we got Covenant College and Covenant Seminary. They came in with the RPCES when they came into the PCA. That's probably the history. I mean, that's more than you need, but some of it gets interesting, quite honestly. I've got stuff out there. You can look, and I brought a few things up here with me just in case I need a prompt or you have a question I don't know the answer to. And there are lots of those. Student experience. What do we hope? What do we want our students to walk out with? Because the reality is there's a lot out there about really a liberal arts degree. The question always is, what are you going to do with that? Right? It's such a utilitarian view of education, but that is the question people get all the time. And it's interesting. I mean, I mentioned yesterday to Presbytery. You just heard you have a 3-2 degree. You can do an engineering degree at Covenant College and Georgia Tech. 3 years at Covenant College, 2 at Georgia Tech. We have a partnership with them. I know a student at Georgia Tech now. He's in year 1 at Georgia Tech, so he's done his 3 at Covenant. There's apparently a guy in Atlanta that owns a house that he rents to Covenant students. And so, you know, two or three or four will graduate and two or three or four come in the next year. He just owns it, and it's just Covenant students. It's just a kind of smart because there's always a constant stream and a pipeline. So when you finish, you actually come out with a degree from both Covenant College and Georgia Tech. And the alumni I talked to all swear that Georgia Tech was not that challenging in the grand scheme of things. That it was, they had been challenged enough at Covenant that going to Georgia Tech wasn't, you know, this sort of sudden overwhelming, oh, this is what education looks like. The flight surgeon for the Artemis program down in Houston is a Covenant grad. We have, you know, elementary ed majors who go to law school. We have art majors who go to medical school. We have a U.S. district judge in Florida who clerked for a Supreme Court justice. Our folks are going all over the place. Three things we sort of expect our students to experience, I guess, while they're at Covenant. They're going to be known. You know, it's easy to get on a big college campus somewhere and hide and sit in your room and play video games and disappear and people not know it. Skip class, you know, get by, whatever. That's easy if you go to a big enough school. It's impossible at Covenant College. We're not that big. I mean, we just had our largest incoming class ever this fall, 351 students. We had record retention, and so there's 1,027 students on campus right now. Which I understand is the third most ever on campus at once. I think like 12 and 14 or 12 and 13, somehow we're a little bit bigger. But the way life is set up at Covenant, it's impossible to hide, it's impossible to get lost. You will be known. You'll be known by your professors, for one. Three of us in our office are brand new. We're brand new August of last year. So three of us have just finished our first year in the development office at Covenant. So every Monday last year, we all had lunch together, all the gift officers. And anytime you walk into the grade hall, you will see professors eating with students. Sometimes it's students saying, "Hey, can you help me? Let's get lunch." Sometimes it's the professor just wanting to get to know the student. Amy Bagby, who is an education professor, she told me once, I mean, sometimes I initiate it because I need them in my life as much as they need me in theirs. And so professors are going to know their students. I heard a story just the other day of a student, I think it was Stern. I think it was, is that engineering? Or it may have been a chemistry class. Maybe it wasn't Stern. He was teaching his class, and the subject that day was sort of foundational to what you need to know. And he's watching this kid's face. And after class, he goes, "Hey, let me borrow you a second." The look on your face said you were not here, like you were lost. And the kid goes, "Well, no, I mean, I'm just kind of distracted. I got a lot on my mind. I wasn't really getting it, but I will. I'll study. I'll read. I'll catch up. I'll get it." And the professor said, "Let's go get lunch." And he retaught the lesson over lunch to this kid, to this student, to make sure he understood. Students are going to be known by their professors. They're going to be known by people on their hall. Their RAs are trained, equipped, encouraged to make sure they're meeting with students. a lot of times the RA doesn't even get a chance because a roommate, a next door neighbor, a hallmate across the hall, somebody's going to notice this person's never going to class, this person's, that doesn't happen, but you have to use it as an illustration anyway. This person is never coming out of their room. This person, and people are always checking up on each other. My oldest didn't have a car for his first 3 years. He didn't have to not go to church. He could find a ride to church because there was plenty of people going to church. Students are going to be known by professors, by staff, by each other. We want our students to feel called, have a sense of calling. We're not trying to send out people just to have jobs and make money and do the self-serving thing for their life. We want them to recognize that the gifts and personality and the talents and the skills and the things that they have are given to them by God and to be used for His honor and glory. And so we really work to make sure students recognize that they have a little c calling in this world, whether it's to use your degree or not. You're still called. I had dinner Friday night with a guy who graduated with my oldest. They were on the same hall freshman year, and I didn't realize he was here, and so it was fun to catch up with him. International business and Arabic. Thank you. I mean, my first question was, who was teaching Arabic? Like, how'd you get Arabic at Covenant? He's a financial advisor. I mean, it's if you squint, they're adjacent-ish, right? But he literally said to me, my childhood dream was to be a diplomat. And I realized I didn't think I could be the husband and father God would want me to be in that life. And I really felt God calling me to do something different. And so he sees his job, not as a job to make his own money, but as a way to honor God's calling on his life as a man, as a would-be husband, father, et cetera, et cetera. We want our students to have that sense of calling. But that's a little C calling, which serves what we call their big C calling, which is to love and serve Christ and his bride. They're getting that modeled from professors and staff and everyone around them, elders and deacons in their church, leading music in worship, teaching children Sunday school. Their professors all around them are doing all of those things. And so we say our church report. So this is out there. This is the report we give to churches. We're sending out builders. There are a lot of schools that will talk about sending out leaders. But can't everybody be a leader? Because if everybody's a leader, then nobody is, to steal from the Incredibles. The Incredibles. When everyone's a super. What a great movie. Now I'm distracted. When everyone's a leader, right? I mean, part of it is we have to learn how to be followers, right? And so President Voiles kind of looks over the Bible and goes, Bible seems to say a lot about building things, building families, business, community, churches. It's wealth, all to the honor and glory of Christ. We would love for all of our alumni to be gazillionaires, because that will be good for the kingdom of Christ, because they will give a bunch of it away, because that's just how they're trained, that's how they're equipped. And so they have their little C callings, which serve their big C callings to know and love and serve Christ. So students known, called, equipped. I should have done equipped first, but if I can say it without sounding, I mean, we want academic rigor, right? We want our students to be challenged academically. We want them to think that that Georgia Tech is easy. We want them to think, well, I mean, I could have gone to Yale, but what's the difference? Well, the difference is I'm getting a biblical worldview at Covenant. I'm getting the same education. I'm getting equal or better education, except under the oversight of the authority of Christ and His Word. That's better. We want that kind of academic rigor. We want students to be challenged. We want it to be a difficult school academically. We're not just a Bible college in the sense of we kind of teach the Bible and yes, we're Christians, but we want to be a little more robust than that. And so our professors are, I mean, they come to us from Maryland. We have a psychology professor who taught at Mississippi State for 6 or 7 years, came to Covenant, has been there for 8 or 9 years. A professor from that came from Maryland is teaching at Covenant College. We have a guy coming to teach computer science. He was going to do the 3-2, didn't want to leave Covenant's campus, changed his major to computer science so he didn't have to leave Lookout Mountain. Smart man. Have you been to Atlanta? He's leaving a, I'm sure, lucrative job with Boeing to come teach computer science at Covenant College. Our professors are academically equipped to do whatever. The problem is, President Voiles, our president, calls it hunting unicorns. You know unicorns, right? Majestic beasts, if you can find one. We're looking for professors who not only excel in their field, but who can not just profess faith in Christ, but who can every year. So here's a little insider baseball. You ready? So these guys, when they are ordained in the PCA, well, when the three of us at least were ordained in the PCA, we were told, listen, if your views change, tell us. Am I right? We don't give our professors that chance. Every year, they have to re-sign, yes, I agree with the Westminster Standards. This is what I believe Scripture teaches. And they then have to sign our statement of community beliefs. I don't know what it's called. I don't remember. In there, I think the Apostles' Creed is in there, but which is odd to me because we just signed the Westminster Confession. I mean, whatever. But the Apostles' Creed is there. There are statements on a biblical view of gender and sexuality. And we're asking our professors, sign off that the Westminster Standards are your view, sign off that you agree with this as well. And the statement is stuff that anybody, we would be glad to sign that. That's what we mean by finding unicorns, right? It's hard to find academically equipped professors who can agree with the Westminster Confession, the Westminster Standards, who can sign off on our view of gender and sexuality. The other thing our professors want, and this links back to being known, they want student interaction. They don't want to be relegated to a research university. They want to invest in the lives of students. They want to be known and to know their students. And so it's a really fun environment in that sense. I gave a tour to a PCA church planter down in South Florida on Thursday, actually. And we went into all these places and stopped in, you know, kind of went by professor offices and all sorts of things. And every single one of them spoke. And the wife, Elizabeth said, They literally were willing. Two of them came out of their office to interact with us. That's the kind of faculty we're after. It's folks who want to invest in the lives of their people. So that's history. That's a little student experience. Any questions? Anything I'm missing? Anything?
Can I just say a few words and we'll go to questions?
Please.
So I think as I want to put Covenant College before you guys, I think especially those of you who are parents, as you're thinking about what do I want for my children, what is the good life, right? I mean, that's something that I'm talking about with y'all all the time as your pastor. You guys have watched Amy and I over the last decade plus try to embody these things in our lives, and as you've watched our children grow up here, Cale was, nine when we moved here, and now he's a 20-year-old, et cetera, all the way down. What I want for my kids in terms of the good life is to love our Lord Jesus Christ, to be lifetime, not just participants, but fully committed members of the body of Christ, in fellowship with the church, using their gifts to serve others, to serve their neighbor, hopefully, in the Lord's timing, but we want all of our children to be married and to be able to have children of their own and to have them be baptized and grow up and to perpetuate this beautiful thing we call the kingdom of God. And so as the reason I would hold out Covenant to you as an option, the reason why we've chosen Covenant for our kids and encourage them and are, financially making decisions for them to be there, is because we think that it is a uniquely qualified place to shape them into to build, continue the trajectory that we've been working on the last 18 years with them, basically. And I know there are different philosophies of what you want your kids to have in higher education and what's going to set them up for whatever it is. I just want you to know that our kids are at Covenant because we think it's going to set them up for the good life, as I've defined it. Better than, honestly, anywhere else in the country that I could think of. And this is a school that takes not just academic education seriously, but the spiritual formation of students seriously. One of the things I love about Covenant is their view of the Lord's Day. Students are required to go to church. The chapel is closed. The library is closed. The gym's closed. Students are encouraged as young adults from the very beginning to see the Lord's Day as set apart. Covenant makes no, President Voiles is a ruling elder at a local church and fully involved in the work of that congregation. The church is foremost at Covenant in a way that you're probably not going to find at hardly any Christian school in the U.S. And I just love that vision. It's why we've bought in, and I can testify to the impact it's made in our children, even in the year and a half that Cale's been there and the half year that Gillian's been there. So just want to throw that out there, from our experience, just echoing what Jeff's saying and maybe giving a little my own perspective too. But yeah, do y'all have questions? We've got about 10 minutes. Mary.
Okay. No. That's going to be your limit. Okay. Finally, a hard one. So I'm going to cheat. This is out there on the table. our majors, our degrees are on the back. So grab that. That answers your question. That answers that question. If I run out, there's more in the suitcase underneath the table. So there's more. But there's a host, right? I will point out three new majors just starting now. One is health sciences, which is intended to be a 4-1. It's our version of a nursing degree, essentially. We're just not going to be able to afford a full nursing program. And besides, we have so many core classes that everybody has to have. Bill couldn't come. So Professor Bill Davis, a philosophy professor and degree from RTS Jackson, the whole nine yards. He was supposed to come down last night. His flight got canceled. He was a product of the FAA stuff. He was going to teach a couple classes. He does a whole thing on end-of-life care. What do you do with your 88-year-old demented parent, right? That's a medical term? Okay, let me just... My brother's a doctor. His wife's a PA. My dad was an OBGYN. I've grown up with it. When I use the medical terms, some of them sound bad. That's one of them. So that's a new major. One we're calling worship leadership. I really don't like that term. Okay, but it's leading music in worship. And then another one that's kind of a ministry-minded but not seminary-directed. Someone kind of with a ministry mind, but, you know, a women's ministry director or a children's ministry or whatever along those kinds of lines. So that's that question. Sorry, that was way too long an answer. There is the ratio I don't know off the top of my head. It's probably right here, and since I'm not wearing my cheaters, I can't see it. But there is at least one. This is what's it like to be a Scot. There's another one that's just a one front and back sort of strip that would have the ratio answer on there. What were some of the other ones?
How do you recruit students?
Recruiting students. It's funny, I've talked to people in the 60s, you don't have time for this. In the 60s and 70s, we literally sent out musicians, like singers. We'd send out choirs. I know a guy who literally started a trumpet quartet just so he could go visit churches and they could play and at schools and churches and recruit students. There's a lot now on social media. Part of our current campaign was sort of giving equipment to our admissions officers. So we have admissions counselors who have territories just like the gift officers do, and they're traveling to different places. Elise Carrillo has Texas. She's great. Recruiting is it's also in part this way with pastors who either went or have kids have gone and they're trying to do more, board members who are connecting us to their community, all sorts of things like that.
Do you know what the percentage is of the student body that's from a PCA church?
It's like 40%, 42%. That's PCA. Yeah.
About half. Yeah. So students, to be clear, students are not required to be Presbyterian but they are required to have a valid profession of faith, a pastoral reference, be members of a church that preaches the gospel. So that is a distinction. There are, some Christian schools that do not require that of students, only of professors. But students at Covenant are required to be professing Christians, yep. Baptized Christians. Any other questions real quick? Yes, LaChristian.
Prereqs to get in. Our ACT average, I think, is 24 to 28 in that kind of range. We are probably going to have a wait list next year. which connects your two questions, right? The limiting factor is beds. President Vuol said at a meeting not too long ago, somebody asked a question about building another dorm. And his answer was, and perfectly logical once you hear him say it, well, keep in mind that with more students comes faculty time and availability, great hall, that's our dining hall, the great hall space. The chapel is already too small. There are already students going. Chapel's required 3 days a week. You get to miss 8 skips a semester, I think it is. You can miss more, but then you have to go back and watch and do a thing. So chapel's too small. Parking is already kind of hurting. And there's another one that I don't remember off the top of my head. So all of those things right now are the limiting factor.
Yeah, James?
I think covenant motto is so strong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you talk to, what's expected of professors in that regard, and what that might look like?
Well, every professor in the world wants you to believe what they believe, love what they love, worship what they worship. If you hire the right professor, it just happens. So the answer to your question is, there is no program. It just is. When you have professors who love Christ, who love the church, and who think biblically about everything they do, it just happens. So there's not a thing. You just hire the right people. That's the sort of straightforward answer. But it's also not just professors. I mean, my son is a friend. Y'all, I'm so sorry. My son is a freshman. His work-study program was facilities. It happens to all the freshmen because you don't get a chance to sign up for something. That means you're doing trash and cleanup in maybe dorms and bathrooms, and some of them are community bathrooms, common space bathrooms for the whole boys' hall or whatever. That's like a thing. He at least had Brock Hall, the building right across from Carter, the main castle building. His boss there was an elderly, she retired literally the next year, and he would come out of there. I literally just went and sat in her office, and we talked about Jesus for like 30 minutes. It's just everywhere, in kind of woven into the fabric. Okay, sorry.
Kendra, do you have a question?
Yes. In your 3-2 programs, partnership with Georgia Tech, mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Not having done it myself or had any of my kids do it, maybe someone remembers from 19...
Yeah, mine was back in the 80s, but yes, it was a very... You did have to apply, and you had to be admitted, but it was if you had the grades at Covenant, it was really a question whether you would be able to... And it was very smooth, but once you went down to Georgia Tech, you did have to choose your classes just like anybody would, use their... And it was quite a different experience at a large college than at a... There are some nice things about a large college. Football, Georgia Tech wasn't as good at football.
Pretty good this year.
Better now.
All right. Let me. We need to wrap up. Let me just say this, and then we'll pray and prepare for worship. No one's asked this question, but if you go on the website, you look at the price tag for Covenant. It's going to be pretty high. That's just higher education today, part of that's private higher education, precisely, exactly. And I'll just say, here's what I would say. Initially, I mean, y'all know us. We live among you. We are not wealthy people. Amy and I did not really think covenant would be an option for our family, just to put it bluntly, in terms of the price and what we thought we could do. In God's providence, I encouraged Cale to apply anyway, and let's see what happens. He got invited to a scholarship weekend, and he didn't win the big scholarship, but he did come home from that weekend at Covenant, two nights in the dorm, saying, this is where I want to go to college. And so we
said... My son did the same thing.
We said, you know, I said, son, I don't know how that's going to happen, but great. Let's pray. And we prayed every night. I mean, literally. Yeah, and I'll just say, I mean, obviously I can't make any promises for you, but I can say that that we went through the financial aid process. My kids are not at Covenant because they're, you know, the Lord has been kind, and I just would encourage you to not write off the possibility of the Lord providing for your children to go somewhere like Covenant. There are resources. It's not free for us. We're contributing a good deal as a family. But both of our kids are working themselves to contribute a substantial portion themselves. But the Lord has been faithful, and I just would put that out there to say, look, that the financial aid folks at Covenant, they want to work with families, especially families in the PCA, to get their kids to Covenant. So don't just write it off. At least consider it, at least have those conversations. And the Lord is so far, you know, we're semester by semester, year by year, depending on his provision. But so far the Lord has provided for us.
I'm going to take two liberties, but quickly. I can see this one because it's big. 99% of Covenant students are eligible to receive scholarship and aid that decrease their costs by 50% on average. Please don't look at the sticker price and walk away. Do what they did. Apply, follow, go all the way through until the train stops and they say there is no place else to go. Then you make your decision. So that, there's that. The second, humor me. I'm taking liberties. I would love to talk with the session after or during lunch. If you've got two minutes, I promise you 2 minutes. Any elders I could borrow, I would love to have one quick conversation with you. Okay, there's that.
Very good. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Covenant College. Thank you for the lives that it's impacted in this room. And really all of us, Father, who have been impacted by others who are Covenant College graduates or students. And Father, pray for your blessing upon us as we think about these things, as we think about the good life for our kids and what we want that to be, and how we can help prepare them for it. Grant us your grace now, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.